This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Good evening. I'm not Kevin Tachi. I'm Christine James, but I'm here with Kevin Tachi, the host of Monday Night Talk, because it is Political Forum tonight. And we also have Charles Mathewson with me asking questions along with Kevin Tachi. Now, this race is exciting. It's the race for the 9th Congressional District. We got the incumbent congressman, the Democrat. That's Bill Keating. Thanks for joining us tonight. And he's facing a challenge from Republican John Chapman. Thanks for joining us tonight, John, as well.
Thank you, Christine.
And again, we told you, I've got Charles in here and Kevin both asking questions. Jeffrey Morrissey, we've got him, a sophomore, BC High. He's our official timekeeper. And of course, this is all, he's good. He's tough, too. Now, if you're not sure that you're in the 9th Congressional District, let me tell you what the 9th Congressional District is. It is all of Barnstable County, Dukes County, and Nantucket County. In Bristol County, it's Acushnet, Dartmouth, Fairhaven, Fall River, Wards 1 to 3, Ward 6, Precincts A and B in Ward 4, Precincts A and B in Ward 5, New Bedford and Westport. Now, in Plymouth County, it's Carver, Duxbury, Halifax, Hanover, Hanson, Kingston, Marion, Marshfield, Mattapoisett and Middleborough, Norwell, Pembroke, Plymouth, Plimpton, Rochester, Rockland, and Wareham. So it's a big...
Yeah, time's up.
That was a great debate.
Uh-oh. Thank you. Yeah. But... a lot of our listeners, you live in this district and it expands a wide area, so...
Why do you get the first joke?
Yeah. I'll let you have a joke later. We ask the candidates to prepare opening and closing statements, and in between we'll ask a round of questions, including a lightning round. That's where the answers are either yes or no. The reporter will specify what kind of answer, or they can have as much as two sentences. Now, if we have time, we give the candidates a chance to ask each other a question or two. We're trying to keep tonight's answers to about a minute 15. I give you a little leeway, but if you're really rambling, then you get the bell. The bell. Now, we just determined opening and closing order out of the new WATD newsroom koozie featuring Mount Rushmore, and we're going to start with John Chapman, and then we're going to go to Bill Keating. We asked them to have both candidates to have opening statements prepared no longer than 2 minutes. We appreciate you joining us tonight, so let's first check in with John Chapman. Good evening.
Well, thank you, Christine, and thank you to all the folks here at WATD. I'm running for Congress because I want a strong America. I want a strong America domestically so we can grow our economy and add jobs. I want a strong America globally so we can protect our national security and protect ourselves against terrorism. Washington is broken. It's polarized. It's arrogant. And it's completely lost touch with the people it's supposed to be representing. Government's too big. Congress isn't listening. And our debt is $17 trillion and growing, and there's too much partisan bickering going down in Washington. I believe our country's headed in the wrong direction. And I believe my opponent is part of that problem. He's been out of touch. Jobs have to be a priority number one. We need to create a business-friendly environment. We need to reduce burdensome regulations. And my opponent has a 0% rating from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. I tell you what that means to me. It means that 100% of the time, he's been voting against the interests of small business and you and me. Spending is out of control. It's reckless. And I would support a balanced budget amendment. We have it in Massachusetts. We should have it in Washington. Washington should do the same thing we do each and every day. We sit down at the kitchen table. We balance our checkbook. We make sure we're not spending more than we're taking in. My opponent has voted on legislation that's added over $2 trillion to our national debt. We need immigration reform as well. We need to secure our borders first and foremost. And before we have meaningful immigration reform, what we need to do is secure the borders. We need to stop the magnets that are attracting illegals to this country. My opponent has voted on a number of occasions against border security. We need balance in the congressional delegation, and if elected, I will have a seat at the table. We need a congressman who puts the district first and partisan interests last. And to close, what I will point out is that my opponent has voted 93% of the time with the president and with Nancy Pelosi. I'm going to ask for your support tonight to vote for me on November 4th. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was the Republican, and that's John Chapman. Now we go to the incumbent, Democrat Bill Keating.
Well, first of all, Christine, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to regularly inform listeners here in the station of my work throughout the whole year. And thanks for having me here tonight. I think everyone knows I enjoy walking around South Shore communities, often with my wife, and talking to people. And what they're really tired of, and frankly, what I'm tired of, are political attacks and infighting. A lot of candidates aren't talking about what they've done or what they hope to do. When I've talked to people in the South Shore, they've said, and said it repeatedly, that they want a representative who's independent and one who'll work across the aisle. And I've done that. I started my own investigation into the Boston Marathon bombing that then became a full-fledged congressional investigation, and I was the sole Democrat to break ranks and question the administration's handling of those bombings. I worked across the aisle, gaining support from the committee's Republican chairman in my fight for answers. Together, we succeeded in getting agencies to change their policies and make law enforcement share information better and to make our country more secure. And that's not the only way I've been helping people. Like my bill to cut Medicaid fraud, my bill to curb prescription drug abuse, my bill to deal with the killing of two people a day that die as a result of substance abuse in this Commonwealth, something I saw firsthand as a district attorney. My bill to get veteran Gold Star families the benefits that they deserve, and bills like getting the distressed fishermen in our district millions of dollars in disaster relief. And like my work to cut student loan rates, or my idea to use UMass scientists to prove the FEMA maps, the flood maps that were wrong in this whole region, and make sure that we got a delay for Plymouth County for those wrong maps. And like the way I fight to keep Cape Wind moving forward. That's 1,000 jobs in our district right now. Or my fight to save 141 national security jobs at Otis. You know, when I talk to people, these are the things they want to hear from someone who represents them, not partisan attacks.
Thank you very much. That was Bill Keating, the Democrat incumbent. Just want to mention, too, we've got Whitman Cable, Whitman Hanson Community Cable TV here making this video available to any community that wants it. Let's start with questions. Let's go now to WATD's Kevin Tonchi.
We'll start with the congressman. We recently saw another attack in Canada. Tell me, where does national security rank as an issue in your campaign, and what needs to be done to protect the citizens of this country from outside threats?
Well, I take a lot of pride in the fact that I'm recognized in Congress as one of the leaders on homeland security. And we have probably and have had the number one threat to our country being domestic homegrown terrorists, like there were in that attack in Canada. That's what the head of Homeland Security said a few years ago. That's still the case today. It's so hard to deal with them because they're already here. They're over the border. And ISIS, as a group, is getting so sophisticated with social media that they can come right through our borders and actually with many different tactics, including magazines that will tell people how to make bombs, as it was the case with the Boston Marathon bomber and his brother. To be able to really deal with that remains a number one priority. I was able to support a justice grant for the Boston region where we deal with that very issue, where we're looking at the root causes, where we have law enforcement go and create bonds with the communities and make sure that information is being shared so that we can prevent that from occurring. That is one of the most important things and lessons we learned from the Boston Marathon bombing when I began my investigation. And that's something that we have to continue to keep our eyes on here at home.
All right. Just a quick follow-up. So where do you stand as far as putting boots on the ground in Iraq and Syria to deal with ISIS?
30 seconds.
Well, we have some to support and protect the people that are there. When I came to the vote of whether to arm Syrian rebels that are infiltrated with these terrorists and don't have the priority of taking out ISIS, but rather taking out Bashar Assad as their priority, I voted no because the generals told me if we were going to be successful, we would need boots on the ground, or troops on the ground, more appropriately, and that if they weren't Sunni Arabs, we wouldn't be successful. So our only alternative, they said, is to put American troops on the ground to be successful to complement the air attacks, which I did support. And I think that that's an important vote, probably the most important one I've made as a congressman.
John, where do you stand as far as your campaign on national security and to protect the citizens of this country?
Well, certainly national security is the number one issue to be focusing on, and it should be a top priority of Congress as well as our president. And to speak about the policies of Congress and the president, I believe those policies have been ineffective and they've been weak. And, you know, my opponent has voted 93% of the time, along with the president and with Congress. And I think that reflects that. National security is a top one priority. And I think about the threat of ISIS, which is something that concerns me. I certainly don't want to see another 9/11. I certainly don't want to see another Boston Marathon bombing. I don't want to be supporting ingrown U.S.-grown terrorism. I always look to, I think, immigration. That's part of securing the borders, first and foremost. We have open and porous borders. And I have a real concern that with open and porous borders, that a terrorist threat will come into this country. I also feel there's also a threat with Ebola and disease coming into this country. Once there is an outbreak in Latin America, it's only a matter of time before the threat of that disease will be more rampant here in the United States. I want to contain it to just Texas and New York right now. I would have voted yes to support and arm the Syrian rebels. That's where we do have a contrast.
About troops, putting troops in Iraq and Syria.
Okay, 30 seconds for that.
Well, with regard to troops, I would certainly, I don't think that's something that's needed right now. But I wouldn't take it off the table as an option.
Okay.
I don't know.
Do you want to quick comment, 30 seconds?
On border security, you know, John wants to take away the frontline defenders in our National Guard who are monitoring ISIS right now through satellites in Joint Base Cape Cod and training to deploy. And they are ready when we have a terrorist attack. He wants to move them to the border. You know what they do in the border? They can't carry a weapon and they can't arrest anyone. We're weakening security with your plan and wasting $700 million in the process.
30 seconds.
I would like to respond to that because I have said that I think we should mobilize and federalize our National Guard and send them down to the southern border, mostly because I feel that they could serve as a deterrent. It's not about cost of the National Guard. What the real cost is the young illegals coming into this country and the burdens it's going to put on our health care, on our education system, as well as our public safety services. And that was something that was not discussed when we were exploring here in this very district, the young illegals coming to Joint Base Cape Cod. So we just have a difference on that. I think the real cost is trying to support those young illegals in this country, and we have to prevent that.
Let's go down to Charles Mathewson. Questions for the candidates.
John, as briefly as you can, how do you grade this president? Like a sentence.
I grade him a D minus, bordering on F.
Okay, let me share some numbers over the last 6 years. 10.3 million private sector jobs created. Unemployment fell from 10% to 5.9%. The deficit fell from 9.8% of GDP to 2.8%. By the way, it was an average of 4.2% under Reagan. At the beginning of the administration, zero banks were rated as too big to fall. Now there are 29. The Dow rose from 8,000 to 16,000. Pell Grant funding for education rose from $18 billion to $33 billion. Projections of Medicare going broke in 2017 have been readjusted. It's now healthy through 2030. So saying he has a D rating, how do you square that with the facts?
Well, I have to say you're sounding very much like a lot of the politicians in Washington by citing numbers. I'll tell you what I've heard out in the district as I've been campaigning is that people are concerned about unemployment. They're concerned about reckless government spending in Washington, and they're concerned that they don't have a job. We have double-digit unemployment in one part of the district, down in New Bedford and Fall River area. I want to change that. You can read whatever numbers you have, but what I care about is the people in the district. And what they need is someone in Washington who's going to represent them and care about them getting jobs and the district getting jobs.
Bill, why do so many Democratic candidates run from this record?
Well, you know, I look at the obstacles that occurred. I don't think any president came in a harder time, and certainly not in modern history. So many headwinds against what he had to do. We were in the middle of a recession. People forgot that we've moved the ball forward. It's been too slow. It should have been quicker. But there has been success in spite of all of this. There's been 55 months of job growth on the private sector. And that's never been done before. So we should look objectively at what's being done. I'll tell you what's made the job harder is a Congress that doesn't work. a Congress where the first day he was in office, Mitch McConnell said, our number one job is to make sure he doesn't pass anything, that he fails. And that happens in the House side as well, where the Speaker of the House has said, judge us not on what we do, but on what we don't do. It is a do-nothing Congress with the lowest number of bills in history. And recessing earlier than any other time in the last 50 years, at a time when we should be voting on some of these issues of war, voting on the economy. I voted not to adjourn, to stay there and keep working. And there had, if there was a Congress working together with the president, no matter who the president was, and you know, when the Democrats were majority, George Bush was president, and we worked together on important issues. That's what people want. That's where I've crossed the aisle many times to do. When people like John wanted to default on the U.S. dollar, and they held hard, I crossed the aisle to avert a national crisis. So I've done that. Other people should do it. And if we did it, any president would succeed.
Okay, but Bill, why aren't you campaigning on that record?
Well, I am. I'm campaigning on all the progress that's been made. You know what's interesting? I haven't been able to pass a lot of bills through Congress. I've passed more than most the average Republicans have, actually, since I've been there in terms of legislation. However, I've been able to do things with the administration. When they shut government down because they didn't want to, they were going to default on the dollar, among the $24 billion that was lost in revenue, the 120,000 jobs, clinical trials of people seriously ill were halted. And I went to the administration when government was shut down and opened up those trials for those patients. Okay. So I'm working when government's even closed down by the people with the more extreme views that John has.
John Chapman, you seem to be making notes. You have a response.
Well, I do, because it seems like Congressman Keating seems to think I was right in there alongside of him. I've not been in Congress. I don't have a public record. To say that, to state my position as wanting the government to default is absolutely false and a lie. I think it was, I did not support Congress shutting down. And, you know, the only record, Mr. Keating, frankly, is your record, which I refer to with jobs, 0% rating from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. When you talk about being bipartisan, when you vote 93% of the time with President Obama and with Nancy Pelosi, that's not crossing the aisle.
Okay. Just going to ask
I just,
wait 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. There's well, 53 votes alone were the Affordable Care Act repeal. And I want to tell you that no one's going to talk about my not being independent. People might remember I'm the one that stood up as a state legislature against the most powerful person in Massachusetts, Bill Bulger. And I was the sole Democrat standing alone investigating the Marathon bombing against the administration and against my Democratic colleagues. I've crossed the aisle on these issues. And John, you've got to understand, when you say you won't raise the debt ceiling, which has nothing to do with future spending, you're closing government down. That's what happens. You should know that. You can't have it both ways.
I disagree. I think it has everything to do with spending. I don't think you should be, you know, if you're going to raise a debt ceiling, I believe it should be accompanied with substantial budget cuts. That's, you know, to say that I don't understand, I know that the people in this country and the people in this district want to see spending cuts. It has been reckless and out of control. And what we need in Washington is balance. You know, Congressman Keating, you have only been the lead sponsor on four bills, and only one of those is the one is only one that passed. You may have crossed the aisle, but you didn't do it as a leader on these issues.
Okay, 30 seconds to respond. Is that true, four bills?
No, there's 15 pieces of legislation I've done. And as a matter of fact, three of them have passed into law. Three of them were on the House floor that didn't because of partisan reasons. But I also had legislation in the Homeland Security Authorization, Coast Guard Authorization, State Department Authorization, among others. And when I couldn't get things through this House, like when getting clinical trials for people that were so seriously ill and shut down when government shut down, I knew how to work with the administration and do that. And when I had an amendment that failed that would save national security jobs, 141 at Otis, I was able to work with the Pentagon and make that happen. So I can make things happen even in a Congress that has the lowest bills that were passed in the history of any Congress because They want to do nothing. That's their goal.
Okay, I want to jump ahead here. I want to ask a question. We talk a lot about border security. When we talk about border security, we're talking about those borders to the south. What about the borders to the north? Vermont, New Hampshire? You hear it's very easy to cross that border. And I know that there are some terrorist cells that operate out of Canada. Do you think enough focus is being put on our northern borders and people slipping through? What do you think about that, John Chapman?
I don't think there's any... I think all borders should be treated equally. Because as you may know, one of the 9/11 terrorists actually entered through the Canadian border into the state of Maine. And I don't think enough is being done. As I said at the outset, I think we need to secure our borders first and foremost. Before we can have meaningful immigration reform, we have to secure the borders. And that's what the critical thing is. And we have to stop the magnets that are attracting illegals to come into this country. It's essential to do that. I think with border security, it has to be a priority, and we have to make sure that it's equal across the board.
Let me ask you a 30-second follow-up. And talk about securing the borders. With all those miles up there of wilderness, places that people can sneak across, how do you do that?
Well, I think we have trouble down on the southern border as well. I think you use all kinds of mechanisms. In certain portions, you can build a wall. You can use drones, surveillance. There's a lot of technology out there. And have bodies down there. I think having even people from the National Guard help protect the borders. If you are impacted by immigration as a state, you're in essence a border state. And I think by utilizing National Guard, they may not be able to be armed or have arrest power, but they can be deputized, and we can make sure that those borders are secure.
Okay, I want to ask you the same question, Bill Keating. What do you think about the northern border? We don't hear as much about it, but there have been people that have come from some terrorist cells in Canada. What do you think about the focus on that? Do you think there's enough focus on the northern borders?
Well, the greatest threat, as I mentioned, was homegrown radicalized terrorists, and they're here. You know, we do some border security. The 2,000 miles in the south, sending a few National Guardsmen that can't even hold a gun under law, can't even arrest someone under law, doesn't deter anyone. But I'll tell you, to the extent I can tell you publicly, I'm on the Counterterrorism Committee. I'm on Homeland Security, and I know what's going on in our borders, and people would be happy to know we're already doing those things that John said we should do. It's already being done. We're taking the assets from Afghanistan. We're not using it in other things. We're creating a military perimeter the same way that we do in a war zone. And we're doing it less expensively in terms of taxpayers because we're using existing satellites. We're using Predators with artificial radar. We're being smart about our usage on the border. One other thing that John mentioned, I think that he doesn't understand about the bill he's been criticizing me for. He wrote the governor and said he was so against having a detention facility in the town of Bourne. Did you know, John, that in that bill, of the four possible options that were there, that bill eliminated three of them. And guess what was left? Bourne. So in one sense, you're criticizing a bill that leaves Bourne as the only alternative. And the other, you're writing letters to the governor saying you don't want that to happen.
Let me just ask you a quick
follow-up. I should be able to respond to that.
I will, but hold on. Let me ask you a quick follow-up, the same one that I asked you about the northern border. You're talking about all these procedures that are being done, as much as you can speak. On the northern border, is it the same kind of security up there? Because that's something you just don't hear about.
Well, one thing we have there that we don't have in the southern border, we have greater cooperation with the Canadian government in that respect. One of the things we've been working hard on is to get more cooperation from the Mexican government. They are not doing everything they can do to be helpful on these border issues cooperatively with us. And that's something we're continuing to work on.
Okay. And John Chapman, I wanted to respond to his comments.
Yes. Well, the letter I wrote to Governor Patrick about opposing the young illegals coming to Joint Base Cape Cod, there were some other things in there that were really top of the letter, which was about why I objected to it. I objected to it because there was a lack of transparency by our government at the state level as well as at the federal level about how many young illegals would be coming here, as well as how long would they stay, and what was the plan to get them back to the country of origin. absolute silence from our state officials as well as our federal officials. Mr. Keating, you sit on the Homeland Security Committee. Right. You should have been present. You should have been encouraging the dialogue. As a congressman to the district, I would listen to the people and speak with them and communicate with them.
Right. Okay, 30 seconds, Bill Keating.
Well, that's the difference between the two of us. I didn't just shoot off and try and score some political points. I immediately went back to Washington, sat down with the HHS people that run the program. And you know what they told me? They didn't even know about Joint Base Cape Cod. They said that they had another plan. They were going to take the inventory of other, like Catholic charities, other groups that were there, and put the children there. And that was much cheaper because the overhead was already done, and it was better for the children. So I waited, got informed before I said anything, instead of just immediately shooting off, trying to score some political points on a very inflammatory issue.
Okay, 30 seconds, Jen Chapman.
I take issue with you saying it was for political reasons. And I also find it insulting to the voters here in the district, because I'm one of those, one of your constituents. I didn't hear you say that until just tonight. And so I have an objection to that. About getting the facts before you speak, I go back to the Boston Marathon bombings, a horrific incident that took place. And I believe, Mr. Keating, you spoke right at the outset that you were concerned. This is what concerns me, is that you spoke without having the facts in front of you about having tax protesters being the cause of ingrown terrorism that created that horrific tragedy in Boston.
Do you want to answer that?
No, I think that when this occurred, I obviously was right on the spot, and right, no one did more work than I did. And I never said that was who was behind it, because I was a district attorney, and I know one thing. You know what you know. And when you do an investigation, you deal with the facts. So people can talk back and forth, as they did during the outset of that. But when I spoke with authority, when I said this is the case, I knew what I was talking about because I was that way as a DA. I know how important it is, and I fought a battle crossing the aisle with Mike McCall from Texas and going to Russia twice to get answers I couldn't get from our own administration.
Okay.
And the FBI 10 blocks down the street.
When we're done, then we're going to go to another question.
And I'll keep it real short, because what you did fail to do, Congressman, is you failed to communicate with the people in the district about that. I would have liked to have known that fact, that you were doing your job. I don't doubt that, but it's, again, you in smoke-filled rooms in Washington and not communicating with the people in the district. That's okay. What you should be doing.
We can get back to this, but let's go now to Kevin Tanchi. Another question.
I want to bring things back to the Commonwealth and ask you, is job creation still an important issue to Massachusetts residents, or is it Bay State companies needing more skilled workers? Explain and tell us what you're willing to do in this area, John.
I think both. I'm hearing job creation and the need for jobs is number one priority, and we need to focus on that. And how do we do that in the Commonwealth? I think one thing we can do is we should be investing in our community colleges and investing in our Voc-Tech high schools. That's how we can get that training. I think there's an opportunity in the district to have these colleges and education institutions partner with business and identify the kind of training they need so they can grow. When you invest in these community colleges, in Voc-Tech high schools, you create a trained workforce. And with a trained workforce, you can command higher wages and have better paying jobs. And that's what the goal should be, and that's what we should be focusing on. Again, I point out Congressman Keating has a 0% rating from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Those are the very people. We have 1,200 members in the district, and a 0% rating. I'm not sure how you can talk about a record for job creation.
Same question to you, Congressman.
Well, thank you very much. I've been waiting for that question because I've been a leader. The Patriot Ledger endorsed me today based on the work I've done creating jobs and creating a marine regional area for job creation right here in the South Shore. And it's something I pride myself on. I spent most of my time in Congress on the Small Business Committee and pushed funds forward for small business innovation jobs. Now, let's talk about misleading the public. The NFIB, as I call it, Federation of Independent Businesses, gave that ranking. They're registered in Tennessee. They are not a business group. They're funded by Karl Rove and Crossroads and the Koch brothers. That's according to Business Week. 100% of the candidates they endorsed are Republican-backed. They're partisan. And the bills that they criticized me on would have given an open door
to having oil companies drill off the coast of the South Shore in Cape Cod. They would have taken away prescription drug coverage from our seniors. They would have had women pay more for their health care than men. Those are the kind of things that I'm proud of those votes. And those are the kind of votes that Karl Rove and the Koch brothers put together, and that's who's behind that group. It is a political group that is partisan and is there to support the most radical Republican viewpoints.
Well, 30 seconds, John Chapman.
I have to respond to that. I just say 0%. I mean, I think you are probably top on the list of only people receiving 0%. But what you just said is insulting to 1,200 members of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. It's a nationally recognized group. And for you to state those things about the group is an absolute insult to all 1,200 members who care about job creation and care about government looking out after their interests. Federal government's too big. And it's too polarized, and we have to make a focus on jobs.
Well, just quickly.
Did you want to?
I'm all set.
Okay.
All right. Will you say that Karl Rove does not fund that? Are you going to say that? Will you say the Koch brothers didn't fund it? Will you say 100% of those candidates endorsed are all Republicans? Are you going to tell people that about this fine group?
What I'm going to tell them is that you have a 0% rating from this group that is nationally recognized, and that's an abysmal rating. That just states the facts.
Okay, let's go on to Charles Mathewson.
Congressman Bill Keating, your challenger, John Chapman, has made a point to say that you are invisible in the district and ineffective. How do you respond?
Well, as I mentioned in my outset, I've worked hard to be around the district. You know, I come back when the gavel is hit, and I'm around here, I think, as most of you know, very well. And I'm here traveling throughout the whole district. The only time I was in Washington for the weekend is when government was shut down. And that's because people with an extreme viewpoint in terms of the debt ceiling shut it down. You know, I'll leave it with this, because I can speak better with a third-party validator than maybe myself. Here's what the Ledger said today in their endorsement of me. Keating hasn't been invisible. He's been leading the charge on the district's behalf. If Chapman hasn't seen him, then we must ask, where's he been?
Okay, John, you've made this charge repeatedly, and I want to ask you on what you base that on, particularly an ad, a TV ad that you did in Plymouth around Town Square, where several people were asked, who's your congressman? Do you think that's a valid ad?
I think it's a valid question to be asking, and that's why I asked the question. And it I've been around this district since January, and what I'm hearing from people is they've only seen, Congressman, with all due respect, they've only seen you in recent weeks, because it is an election year after all. It seems as if every 2 years, that's when the people from Washington decide to show up. I think it's valid, because that's what I heard. When I first started thinking about running for office, I was going around asking people, do you know who your congressman is? And no one knew who their congressman was in the 9th Congressional, and they couldn't particularly tie you to a particular accomplishment. And I think it's an absolute valid claim, and it's frankly how I feel as well.
Do you know, in that ad, the young man in blue who's sitting on a park bench in front of the post office, and all he can say is, do you recall that from the ad?
I've seen it, yes.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that that young man could not tell you the name of any public official, possibly the president. And how do I know? Because that's my stepson. And he has an IQ of 65. And you included that in your ad, taking advantage of a severely disabled person, entering into a model contract with him. And I don't know, I was just kind of disappointed to see you taking advantage of someone with a 65 IQ.
Well, I wasn't there with the filming, but I will tell you that I'm sorry to hear that, and it's unfortunate. It was certainly not the intent of the ad to take advantage of anyone. It was meant to point out a sentiment that I had felt throughout the district. And I apologize because I certainly do not, that was not the intent of the ad.
Okay. You're listening to 95.9 FM, Marshfield, the South Shore's news and information station. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we're back, Monday Night Talk. I'm still not Kevin Tachi, I'm Christine James, but it is during our Monday Night Talk segment. It is a political forum tonight. You've been listening to some good dialogue back and forth here. It is the 9th Congressional District, the incumbent, Bill Keating, he's a Democrat, and his Republican challenger, John Chapman, both asking questions in our studios. We're just saying off air, some good back and forth here. Two men that like to speak and like to put their viewpoint forth, and that's what we like here on WATD. So we're going to go to Kevin Tachi now. Questions for the candidate.
I have to say I'm torn because I want to kind of stay within the district, but there is something that we've seen in the news over and over the past couple of weeks, and that is the increase of Ebola somehow coming into our country. And I have to ask both of you, what needs to be done to stop the spread, not only to the residents of the United States, but globally? We'll start with the congressman.
Thank you. I was disappointed initially with our response as a country here domestically and the CDC, but they had, you know, they admitted their shortcomings. They move quickly. They have emergency response teams. And right here in this region, people will be happy to know. I've checked with hospitals here, and they've already done their work. So, you know, they've spent a significant amount of money making sure they're up to speed the way they should be. The important thing is to control Ebola, and that should be our goal. We are so proud and so lucky to have military people, over 3,000 of them, go there, and only as we can. We're building 7 labs, 17 facilities for people in weeks, and we're doing our best to contain that right there in West Africa. We need partners around the world because this is a global issue. It can't be controlled solely by the United States, and I supported NIH money, National Institute of Health money, and in a bipartisan way, to meet with the crisis, but also before, to put more money in so we have research and a vaccine. That money was not forthcoming in the current House, and that's something I hope we can change.
I guess my follow-up is, any fear of, I mean, we have an enemy that does not like us, and I would ask you, is any fear that this could be weaponized?
30 seconds.
I think the way the contagion, the contagiousness of it, it would be very difficult to do. It's not like a virus. It's not like a flu that's airborne. It's something that's transmitted in a different way. So I don't think it lends itself to that at all. But nevertheless, it's a huge problem for our country. I think we have to cut back on visitors' visas, you know, for the time being. But I do think they're a little extreme in some states with our healthcare workers, where they're coming back, putting them in a tent with no showers or bathrooms or way to do that. That's not going to help the courageous people that go over there and selflessly try and help others.
Mr. Chapman, same question to you, sir. What needs to be done to stop the spread of Ebola to not only the country, but so it doesn't become a pandemic?
Well, I think it's a real concern, and it's something that I have spoken about a great deal with people around the district. I do believe that we should be instituting a travel ban immediately from those countries that have the most severe outbreaks overseas. I also think we should be suspending visas from those countries until we have this under control. And I also think that the governor should convene all hospital CEOs. What we need to do is have a dialogue about it, an open dialogue, some transparency about it. I'm concerned that I want to make sure we have the right protocols in place, and that's where the hospital CEOs can address that. There was a Nurses Association group that was polled about Ebola, and 76% of them said they were concerned that the healthcare institutions they worked in, they did not feel had the right protocols or safety in place. So before this becomes a real severe problem inside our borders, I think we should be addressing it. And this does relate to immigration. General John Kelly, who's head of the Southern Command, did raise a concern about the southern border being a port of entry of the disease. Mostly, if it outbreaks in Latin America, people will look to come to the United States and utilize our healthcare system.
Fear of it being weaponized, any?
I think we should always be on guard and be vigilant about any potential weapon.
Okay. Charles Matthews, any questions for the candidates?
And this is for my extremely smart stepdaughter, a social worker in the city, Philadelphia. The United States leads the world in prison population. We can blame a lot of social ills on the lack of fathers in the house, but millions of fathers are in the house. What would you do, Congressman?
Well, thank you. That's something I addressed as a district attorney, and I'm taking that experience to Washington as well. I started a drug court in Norfolk County. I remember the day I went to the trial judge with the application for that. I started it, and she said, I can't believe this, a prosecutor starting a drug court. And I did. I also started a mental health diversion program because that's another area where people have a stigma. They might be self-medicating. There might be a problem. My brother, who's a police officer, told me, we're not dealing with mental health issues through the criminal justice system. It'll never work. And it's expensive. When I started those programs, right away, we saved money on both fronts. We saved money right away on the mental health diversion. And you know where we saved it? We saved it in the emergency rooms because police would go to a scene, they would arrest, and they'd take the person to the most expensive place they could, the emergency room. So we have to deal with issues that are social issues, not as criminal justice issues. It's not only not the right thing to do, it's not efficient, it's wasteful in money.
John Chapman?
We can certainly agree on this one issue. It is an issue. There is a stigma around drug abuse and addiction and mental health. And I think this is an issue we need to be focusing on. And it's interesting, in the correctional facilities that you address, I've learned as I've visited around in the county jails, Bristol County Jail, Barnstable County Jail, as well as the Plymouth County Jail, correctional facilities and the sheriff's offices, that the large population of people in the correctional facilities are dealing with substance abuse and addiction. And so it has to be something that we address. And here in the state, there are some programs that they've done down in Barnstable County, in fact, that have been very successful at helping people transition from correctional facilities out back into the community. And I think if I'm thinking of the drug Vivitrol, and that allows families to stay together. If we allow people to transition into communities, we want to focus on having families stay together and address all these issues.
Okay. Bill?
I think the area of substance abuse is another example that I think people refreshingly like to hear my involvement in, because I'm working across the aisle. The chairman of appropriations, a Republican, Hal Rogers from Kentucky, and I have teamed up on this issue. And we work together to keep cheap, unprotected OxyContin off the marketplace. We work together to have the instructions change from moderate pain to severe pain. You know, in this Congress, there is hope in working together. And this is one area where I've been able to work as a leader on the Democratic side, hand in hand, with one of the most powerful Republicans in Congress, and get results.
John Chapman, you're scribbling.
I was just writing down 93% of the time Congressman Keating votes with the president and with Nancy Pelosi. That doesn't sound like a bipartisan effort from my standpoint.
Kevin Tanchi, question.
Let's talk a little bit of FEMA flood maps and flood insurance. We'll start with Mr. Chapman. You know that one of the largest federal issues that the district faced this past legislative session was about the FEMA flood insurance and the mapping issue. In 2017, a new piece of legislation will dictate how the flood program will move forward. What is your understanding of the issue, and what would you do with the program in the 2017 piece of legislation?
Well, I haven't read the 2017 piece of legislation, but I will refer back to this is a concern that I'm hearing a great deal about in the district, is the flood insurance program. And as Congressman Keating knows, I've been critical of his vote back in 2012 that caused the rise in the flood insurance rates, about 25%. I go back to that vote because at that point, what it demonstrated to me is that Congressman Keating voted along with his party to support the increase in flood insurance. And that's something I would not have done. Even if there was a larger bill and that there were portions of it that I agreed with, I would have at least raised my hand and said, wait a minute, my district is primarily coastal, and we have to address these issues, and it's impacting the people in my district. It was only after that people objected. They basically went to the U.S. Capitol with pitchforks and torches and said, wait a minute, do you see what this is doing to businesses and individuals? And there's a lot of confusion out there. People don't understand this issue, and I think there's an obligation for members of Congress to educate members and constituents in the district about this issue.
Congressman,
can I address that, please?
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to do that.
That's right.
That's right. So let me tell you something, John. You're saying I voted with my partisan colleagues on the bill. You got to look at the bill before you start talking about it. It was a Republican bill. That was a Republican bill. And you know what? The issue was flood insurance, no flood insurance. It was running out. So if you're criticizing that bill, then you're saying you don't want flood insurance. You're saying you don't want also in that bill Route 139 to be widened and all the transportation projects. You don't want student loans to be cut in half. You don't want to deal with issues about the rates themselves and how we could do it. Now, there was affordability mentioned in that bill too. But let me tell you, not in the bill, which you should understand too, was the effect on rates that the MAPS had. That wasn't in the bill. And I was the one that went to UMass Dartmouth and got them, the scientists there, to look at it and find out the MAPS were wrong. That's why in today's Patriot Ledger, they called me the champion of the South Shore in dealing with this issue.
Well, I wanted to ask you is what role did you play in delaying the implementation of those FEMA flood maps, and what needs to be done in 2017 regarding the new legislation that will dictate how the flood program will move forward?
Well, it was
30 seconds.
It was working. It was working with Duxbury and Marshfield, seeing their appeal, and helping them. That I realized, because of my fishing experience, let's go to the experts at UMass and on studying the ocean. Let's go to those scientists, and they found out the methodology that was used was for the Pacific Ocean, not the Atlantic, and it affected the flood maps. That's why they had to delay the flood maps in Plymouth County. That's why ratepayers are saving thousands of dollars because of my effort.
Well, there's a lot there that I have to respond to. And I think the bill that you're referencing was a bipartisan bill, Congressman. What you're doing is you're trying to create what you think my record would be about student loans and about infrastructure dollars. I have never stated that. What I'm saying is that in this instance, with raising the flood insurance rates, with you had an obligation as a congressman. You can't lump everything together. There are instances where you have to file an amendment or be a voice for the district. And that's what you failed to do. What you did in this instance was you voted along partisan lines. And what you did by doing that is that you didn't make district first. What you did was you did partisan politics. And I do take issue with you claiming that I am against on the student loans as well as infrastructure dollars. What you've done has you've lied about about where I stand on these issues.
Okay, 30 seconds, then we're going to go to light.
You know, you said you didn't have a record, so how do I know this? And it's all footnoted, by the way, in our material that you'll see. People should look at the footnote. And you know what? You know how I learned? Your radio attack ads. That's how I learned. You've been attacking me for that vote. All those things were in that vote. That's the way it is. You can't. I'm a Democrat, a minority right now. And I've got to tell you, even the Republicans couldn't get them to change anything in that bill. It was there, and that's the way the bill was. Now, if you're going to say that's not your position, then say it's not your position and don't attack me. And if you are, change your position and apologize to me for putting those ads on the radio.
We can get. Let's get back to that when you get a chance to ask each other a question. But I want to go to lightning round right now. Lightning round is either yes or no answers or one or two sentences tops. And the reporter will ask if you want a yes or no answer or one or two sentences. Now, Kevin Tachi, lightning round questions for the candidates.
What realistically needs to be done to the Affordable Care Act? It's one of three answers. Pick one. Modify it, completely overhaul it, or leave it alone.
Okay.
Congressman.
It's a work in progress innovation. Pick modify it, but okay. Go forward with it.
Okay.
John. Repeal. Completely start over.
I don't think that was one of my answers, but okay.
Completely overhaul. Completely overhaul. That's what okay. It is. That's okay. In there. Repeal it.
Charles Mathewson, lightning round question.
Two sentences. How would you end gridlock in Washington, or is gridlock good? I remember your answer from the primary, John. So you go first.
Well, you elect people like myself to Congress. I think you need to be truly for by crossing the aisle, not just saying it to try to get yourself votes.
Okay. Same question. Bill yes. Keating.
I've done that. I did it with a marathon bombing issue working with the representative from Texas. I've done it on substance abuse, flooding, the debt
two
ceiling.
Sentences.
All right.
Just two
and
sentences.
I could go on.
Okay. Lightning round question, Kevin Tachi.
For or against the Keystone XL pipeline project?
Let's start with Bill Keating. For or against it?
I would be for it if it didn't have the environmental damage that it has. It sets precedents that we can't afford. So the way it is, no.
I'll write about John Chapman.
I am for it.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, lightning round questions.
Related to that, do you think climate change is real or a hoax and why? Two sentences.
John Bill. Chapman. Oh, you're going to go Bill Keating? Okay, two sentences.
One of the biggest problems we have, it's real and serious, and I'm working on it.
Okay, same question, John Chapman.
I believe it's an issue that's too politicized, but I do feel there's a human impact on our climate.
Okay, one more lightning round question.
One more okay. Elected official, past or present, that you look to as a role model?
John Chapman.
I look to Ronald Reagan.
Okay, what about you, Bill Keating? Who do you look to?
I look at John Quincy Adams, who was president and went back to Congress.
Okay, there we go. Now, just because I know this is the part you guys are really chomping at the bit for, to ask each other a question. John Chapman, a question for Bill Keating.
Well, I guess I go back to my 93% at the time you voted with President Obama and Nancy Pelosi. Your voting record indicates that. So how do you reconcile with those statements that you are truly bipartisan, not just saying it in these last few weeks of the election?
Well, first of all, you keep saying the president's a member of Congress, and he isn't. I'll tell you this, that the bills, the lowest number of bills in history passing, those bills are so extreme in nature because of the Tea Party influence that it's almost impossible to be. 53 of them included the repeal of the ACA. I'll tell you, if the issue is independence and crossing over at the big time, I told you before, I alone, the sole person on the marathon bombing investigation, stood against the Democrats and against the administration in doing this. I stood up to Bill Bulger and ran against him to reform the state Senate. And I also crossed the aisle when there's government shutdowns in the offing, and when people that wouldn't budge on raising the debt ceiling that has nothing to do with future spending put our government at a shutdown, I crossed the aisle when Democrats were necessary to do that to open up government.
Okay.
I'd like to be able to at least say something.
Okay,
with
30 seconds, and then you'll get a chance to ask John a question.
I certainly understand the president's not part of Congress, but, you know, I'm not part of the extreme part of the Republican Party down in Washington that supported shutting down the government. I would have been opposed to shutting down the government. The obligation of a congressman is to go to Washington and get the job done. And when they shut down the government, that's not what happened. Congress was not working.
Okay. Now you've got a question for...
I was just going to say the debt ceiling does shut down government.
Okay. Now your question for John Chapman.
Well, John... three different occasions, and September 2nd, October 8th, and October 15th, you had statements along these lines. We've certainly had tremendous tragedies that have taken place in Newtown as well as Colorado. But what we have is here, we have people making a call for greater gun regulations. I'm not a supporter of that. I think we have too many laws on the books, and I believe that very strongly. Twice you said there are too many laws in the books. My question is to you, what laws are on the books in terms of guns that you want to see repealed of current laws, since there are too many, you said three times, on the books?
I think you misunderstood what the point I was trying to make there. What I was saying when I stated that was that I am not in favor of additional federal gun legislation. Massachusetts has the toughest gun laws in the nation, and I'm supportive of them. And I think gun laws should be handled at the state level. I would not be going to D.C. to be adding another layer of regulation and add additional federal gun laws. We need to enforce the existing laws that we have here at the state, and that's the way we address the issue around guns.
Okay. Believe it or not, we're going to go to closing statements now because we've got a few minutes left. We're going to switch the order that we started in. This is going quickly. We started with John Chapman, then we went to Bill Keating. So we're going to switch that at the end, and we're going to do closing statements with Bill Keating and then go to John Chapman. You have 2 minutes.
Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity and what's been said here. And I want to take this opportunity to talk about the work I've done. In this particular campaign, the differences are profound. A quick look at today's Patriot Ledger editorial endorsing me highlights that. If you look at the Cape Cod Times endorsement of me, they said that once I sink my teeth into something, I don't let go. There's a reason why I'm like that. I've worked for everything I've had. I worked through college as a letter carrier and put myself through graduate school, as well as having the opportunity I think every young person should have in this country to be fortunate enough to be given a good education, and in my case, having the opportunity for public service as a state legislator, as a district attorney, and now in Congress. We live in a unique region with unique needs. I'm committed to moving our region forward by continuing my work to improve the local economy and schools and to create a regional maritime center. We're becoming the nation's leader in offshore wind, and we're on the verge of developing a cybersecurity center right at Joint Base Cape Cod. I also know the value of access to quality education and new jobs created by emerging industries in our area. We've worked too hard and come too far to stop now. For this reason, I ask for your vote on November 4th. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the incumbent Democrat, Bill Keating, now his Republican challenger, John Chapman.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you again to the people at WATD. I'm sorry that Congressman Keating has gone negative against me in this campaign with multiple flyers as well as TV ads. It's just more like the behavior of everyone down in Washington. They seem to want to attack before actually discussing the issues. But there are some clear differences between us. I believe our country needs to head in a different direction. We need to focus on jobs and the economy. We need to make it easier for businesses to grow. Spending. We need to get spending under control. It's out of control in Washington. Our federal government's too big, and that's not the solution, is to spend our way out of bad economic times. And with immigration, we need immigration reform, and we need it now. We need to secure our borders first and foremost. It's time for a fresh perspective, and we need balance. We need another voice from the Massachusetts congressional delegation down. And just imagine this. If I was part of the majority, I could get a lot more done. I'd have a seat at the table. We need a congressman that will put the district needs ahead of partisan politics, not a congressman who votes 93% of the time with President Obama and Nancy Pelosi. I will listen. I will learn what the needs of the district are because I understand them, and I will go to Washington to get it done. And I, too, ask for your vote on November 4th. I would be honored to have it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was John Chapman. He's a Republican running in the 9th Congressional District. Now, this forum in its entirety will be up on the WATD website tomorrow, 95.9WATD.com. And selected cuts from this forum will also be on the air during our morning drive news block. I'm Christine James, your moderator here tonight, sitting in with Kevin Tachi on Monday Night Talk. We also have Whitman Hanson Community TV right behind me there. Thanks, Joe Rossi. Jeffrey Morrissey, thank you for keeping time. And, of course, Charles Mathewson for asking questions as well. There's more Monday Night Talk straight ahead. But right now, we're going to take a break. And remember to get out and vote on November 4th. WATD will bring you complete election coverage. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James. We'll be back right after this.